Hi, I'm Sabrina.
And this is Vivian.
And we're the staff of Northern Lights Therapeutic Tape Advantage in Kenai at 610 Atla Way, Suite Number 4, 907-690-2010. We will be donating 30% of our proceeds from now until June 30th. And we would like to encourage other businesses to participate with us in a challenge to help raise money for KDLL programming. We are asking that businesses donate a percentage of their proceeds up until June 30th. And the public can come by the businesses and purchase goods and services for KDLL programming.
KDLL has until June 30th to meet our federal match requirement. Thanks to Northern Lights Therapeutic Tape Advantage for helping us get there. If your business would like to participate, give us a call at 283-8433.
Hello, and welcome to Drinking on the Last Frontier. I'm your host, Bill Howell, and this is listener-supported public radio on the Central Kenai Peninsula, KDLL 91.9 FM Kenai Soldotna. Thanks to Recess Duty for playing us in with our theme song, and let's get started with this month's news on beer. In the waning days of the legislative session, SB 76, the bill to overhaul Alaska's liquor licensing system, was withdrawn from consideration by its sponsor, Senate Majority Leader Pete Michiki. This was due to an amendment inserted in the House Labor and Commerce Committee, which would have reduced the amount of beer brewery tasting rooms were allowed to serve from 36 to 24 ounces per day. I'll have much more on this story later in the broadcast. Tickets for the Anchorage Brewing Company's The Culmination Festival went on sale on May 11th and quickly sold out. The fest will be held on July 28th from 2 to 6 p.m. at the brewery. If you are not one of the 300 folks who got tickets, better luck next year. Reports are that Baleen Brewing Company in Ketchikan is close to opening. Owner Alex McGivelray has finished building his brewing system and is now waiting on final state approval to begin brewing. Matanuska Brewing Company in Palmer celebrated its grand opening on Wednesday, May 16th with a party at nearby Palmer Ale House. The brewery is located on the site of the former Matt May Dairy and is currently producing four different canned beers under its own label, as well as contract brewing and canning beers for Glacier Brewhouse. The brew house is a 40-barrel JV Northwest system with four 120-barrel fermenters, two 120-barrel conditioning tanks, and two 120-barrel bright tanks. Head brewer Kevin Burton expects to produce 40,000 barrels per year, which would make Matanuska the second-largest brewery in Alaska, behind only Alaskan Brewing. Its beers are canned on a pro-brew canning line, which runs at 100 cans per minute, and its beers will be distributed by K&L Distributing. The former Misty Bay Lodge will be the new home of Icy Strait Brewing, the Hoonah-based microbrewery. Previous owners Dan Kane and his business partner Todd Thingvall sold the business, recipes, and equipment to Tawny Letterman and Keith Quinn. Quote, "We couldn't have purchased a brewery for more solid people," Letterman said. "They've been gracious as well as helpful getting everything over here and giving us any kind of guidance. We definitely couldn't have had more incredible people to purchase it from." Letterman, 29, previously worked in Vancouver, British Columbia. She hopes the influx of tourists will want to sample the brewery's familiar oatmeal stout, blonde, pale ale, and India pale ale. When her mother and her mother's business partner called about the opportunity to buy the brewery, Letterman couldn't pass it up. About a 4-minute walk from the original site, the new large 2-story red building will house the business. Letterman and Quinn are busy fixing up the inside to utilize the space and provide plenty of seating next to the building's large windows overlooking the water. Letterman calls it a modest remodel, but hopes to include some Southeast Alaska decor. "It's like a total construction site here right now," Letterman said. "We obviously have a lot of work to do, but we're looking at 2 weeks, hopefully. The outside will be repainted red to make it more vibrant and noticeable, and it'll get a new sign." Letterman said they will keep all the previous beer recipes. On April 25th, Anchorage's Midnight Sun Brewing Company announced that it had partnered with Willowaw Social, the lively community gathering space located in the heart of downtown, to provide food service and beers to the popular venue. For Midnight Sun, the new location, which will be branded with its name, means more visibility. Right now, its brewery operations and restaurant are in an industrial pocket further south in town. Quote, "Humpy's Alaskan Ale House across the street from Willowaw Social has kind of been a draw for craft people for a long time," said Gary Busey, general manager for Midnight Sun. "People know that part of town that are into beer, so we will finally be able to plant a flag downtown. Otherwise, we're kind of hidden down here." Midnight Sun won't have brewing operations at Willowaw, Busey said, but they will install a setup for about 16 beer taps. Midnight Sun will run the food in the dining area inside as well as on the rooftop. The restaurant inside Willowaw will also be able to serve its beers later than Midnight Sun's other location, which, as a brewery, can only offer beer until 8 p.m. Midnight Sun Brewing celebrated its 23rd anniversary on May 5th with the release of a special beer, 23 Anniversary Barley Wine. Quote, "I like the choice this year," said Darcy Kniefel, Midnight Sun's beer ambassador. "We don't see a lot of American barley wine styles anymore. Brewers seem to have migrated back to focusing on the more traditional English style. For this year, the American style was a good sign of our age and willingness to continue to do stuff that's completely off the wall." End quote. The beer has 100 international bittering units and weighs in at a formidable 10% alcohol by volume. Unusually, this beer has been packaged in cans rather than bottles. On May 18th, the Brewers Guild of Alaska announced that its executive director, Ryan McInster, would be stepping down on May 31st. The BGA will now begin the process of looking for a new executive director. Winterlong Brewing in Whitehorse, Yukon Territory, celebrated its third anniversary on May 19th. The brewery marked the occasion by releasing a new beer, Hayes Junction Session New England IPA, dry-hopped with a new hop variety named Denali. The Denali hop is known for its rich pineapple and citrus flavors, which will complement this already super juicy, hazy creation. Seward Brewing Company opened for the season on May 10th. At this year's World Beer Cup, two breweries from our state took home gold medals. 49th State Brewing earned top honors in the smoked beer category with its smoked Marzen Lager, which also won gold at the 2015 Great American Beer Festival. Alaskan Brewing also won gold with its new Spruce Tip IPA. The World Beer Cup is the most prestigious international beer competition, and to have two winners from our state is terrific news. Beer drinkers throughout the Show Me State are now able to enjoy award-winning beer from the last frontier, as beer from Alaskan Brewing Company has been on tap and on shelves in Missouri since mid-May. Beer lovers in that state will see year-round packages of Alaskan Amber, White, Husky IPA, Hopothermial Double IPA, and the Frontier Variety Pack, as well as new year-round products Kolsch Ale and Smash Galaxy Double IPA. Alaskan's award-winning signature beer, Smoked Porter, will also be introduced to the market upon its release later this fall. Quote, Our move into Missouri is a natural fit for our brand, remarked Alaskan sales and marketing director Merv Boyce. We have a rock-solid group of enthusiastic distributors there, along with quite a few Alaskan beer fans throughout the state. Our story and the thrill of a taste of Alaska that comes in every Alaskan beer really resonates with the people of Missouri, who have a long and storied history with beer and brewing. We know that they recognize quality brews when they taste them. End quote. Distribution will begin in St. Louis and eventually move throughout the state. The move into Missouri marks Alaskan's 21st state and its first new state this year. Alaskan Brewing has also released a new variety 12-pack, the Frontier Pack. The new pack will feature interactive windows, which allows interested shoppers a chance to see, touch, turn, everything but taste the rotating beer styles inside the pack. These beer viewing windows provide the opportunity for consumers to pinpoint exactly which rotating styles are included. Quote, humans are curious by nature, and we've all really enjoyed working on a project and packaging that allows that curiosity and creativity to flourish, said Tasha Human, brand coordinator at Alaskan Brewing. The interactive nature of the window feature is super fun and cool and definitely filled a need that we saw. People want to be able to see what beer they're getting inside a variety pack, and it's exciting and a lot of fun to get that interaction going before the beer has even left the store, end quote. Each Frontier Pack will include Staples Alaskan Amber and Icy Bay IPA, along with two other styles. The first, a limited edition style, will be a limited release beer, only available for a short time, and could be a fan favorite, a new style, or an experimental brew. What's found in one pack may not be seen in the next due to the limited nature of these styles. The other, a brewer's choice style, will be an exclusive brew selected by one of Alaskan team of brewers who will handpick their favorite beer of the moment to be included in the pack. That's it for this month's beer news. When we will come back, we'll talk about SB 76 in the legislature. This is your host, Bill Howell, here on Drinking on the Last Frontier, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna. Hello, and welcome back to Drinking on the Last Frontier. I'm your host, Bill Howell, here on KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna. In this month's feature story, we're going to talk about Senate Bill 76. One of the subjects that longtime listeners of the show are probably familiar with is Senate Bill 76. I've talked about it numerous times, and back in December, we had State Senator Pete Michicki, the sponsor of SB 76, on to talk about it in detail. But for those of you out there who may not have been following my reporting on it, let me give you some of the backstory before moving on to recent developments. Title IV, the portion of Alaska State Code which licenses and regulates alcohol sales, was last overhauled in 1986. Since then, there have been many changes in the alcohol business, the most notable being the growing popularity of craft breweries and distilleries. Over the past three decades, these various new issues were dealt with by different legislatures on an ad hoc basis, with the end result that Title IV has become confusing, contradictory, and hard to enforce. Everyone agreed that a rewrite was necessary, so all the stakeholders, bar owners, brewers, package store owners, distributors, law enforcement, mental health advocates, etc., etc., began meeting some 6 years ago to try to hammer out a consensus bill which could make it through the legislature. As is typical in situations such as this, with so many players, many having diametrically opposing views regarding alcohol, the key to achieving consensus was to preserve the status quo. It was important that no one be perceived as winning something at the expense of others, and in the end, that is how things worked out. The final 112-page proposal streamlined and rationalized the licensing process, raised fees paid to the state, and increased penalties for minor consumption, but it did not fundamentally change the balance between the various parties. The limitations on brewery and distillery tasting rooms remained exactly the same. Licenses continued to be limited by population, and so on. No one had achieved an advantage, so all parties appeared willing to accept the new structure. SB 76 was introduced to the legislature by Senator Michicki in the 2017 session, where it languished in the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee for the entire session, thanks to the legislature's inability to get much done during that year's contentious sessions. With the start of this year's legislature, Senator Machicki again introduced the bill, and late in the session, things began to happen. The bill moved fairly smoothly through the required Senate committees and was unanimously approved by the full Senate and sent to the House on April 30th. And that's where the wheels came off. The bill was referred to the House Labor and Commerce Committee to be followed by the House Finance Committee. Labor and Commerce scheduled public testimony on Thursday, May 4th and Friday, May 5th. While some bar owners testified that the bill did not do anything to help them, numerous others from the various stakeholder groups testified that it should be passed as written to preserve the consensus it represented. On late Friday evening, the committee voted unanimously to amend the bill to reduce the daily limit of beer which a brewery could serve a patron from 36 ounces to 24 ounces per day. The amendment also reduced the amount of alcohol a distillery could serve from 3 to 2 ounces per person per day. In other words, the amendment cut the on-site retail sales volumes for craft manufacturers by one-third, a direct, targeted cut at the income of Alaska businesses that comprise about 4% of the state's alcohol industry. At first, you might seem surprised that a committee which had previously had absolutely nothing to do with this issue would take such a controversial step so late in the process, but when you look at the committee's members, the explanation becomes quite plain. The resolution was introduced by Representative Louise Stutz, a Republican of Kodiak, who owned and operated a bar for 25 years, and it was supported by Representative Adam Wool, Democrat of Fairbanks, who currently owns and operates one. Conflict of interest issues never seem to be very far away in the Alaska legislature, but you seldom see lawmakers act so clearly and obviously to benefit their own personal financial well-being at the expense of other citizens. Despite the vote being taken late on a Friday, word quickly spread through the craft brewing and distilling community around the state, generating a massive backlash. Editorials opposing the change appeared in the Anchorage Daily News, the Alaska Journal of Commerce, and the Fairbanks News Miner. The Brewers Guild of Alaska encouraged craft beer lovers around the state to contact the House Finance Committee to demand the amendment be stripped out, and by the following week, over 1,100 citizens had done so. Things appear to be gearing up for a major fight just as the legislature was trying to wrap up its session. On Wednesday, May 10th, Senator Machicki, acting as the bill's sponsor, withdrew his request for a Finance Committee hearing on SB 76. As part of his announcement, Senator Machicki stated he was taking this action, quote, following the adoption of an unfair and self-serving amendment in the House Labor and Commerce Committee on day 109 of the legislative session, end quote. This action essentially killed the bill for this year. I think it's worth quoting the senator's reasoning for his action at some length. The following is from the press release which announced his withdrawal of SB 76. Quote, I introduced this bill because I agree with and admire its spirit of consensus. A primary goal during the formation of this bill was to protect the rights that Alaskan business owners have today. This amendment goes against all of that. I will not allow a singular special interest group to hijack my legislation to the detriment of other Alaskan businesses because they are viewed as competition. It is antithetical to Alaskan values, small business, and economic freedom. Senator Machicki continued as follows. Title IV is a mess. It's a mess for the industry, the public, and the state that attempts to enforce it. I think one of the most powerful parts of this process and one of the reasons we made it this far is that everyone who participated was able to look beyond their own self-interest and consider the big picture and a system that is better for everyone than the one we have today. End quote. In retrospect, some individuals were clearly not able to look beyond their naked self-interest and consider the big picture. SB 76 was very carefully crafted not to impact the status quo. The reason it achieved consensus from all the stakeholders was that it quite purposefully was not designed to address the contentious question of distillery and brewery tasting rooms versus old-style bars. By trying to turn it into a vehicle to stifle their competition, Char and a number of bar owners have shown that they have more concern for their personal profits than for the public they have been licensed to serve. I suspect that the consuming and voting public will remember this act for a long, long time. In the meantime, the legislature has adjourned and nothing has changed. Breweries are still serving 36 ounces per person per day, and old-fashioned smoke-filled bars will continue to lose trade as their customer base dies off and will likely continue to blame the competition rather than their own outmoded business model. It's likely that next session, Senator Michikee will again reprise his role as Sisyphus and start trying to roll the boulder that is SB 76 back up the hill again. There will be an election in between, and who knows, perhaps the voters of Soldotna will even ask their representative Gary Knopp to explain why he too voted in favor of this poison pill amendment. If he's interested in talking to his constituents on any given day, he can likely find a whole bunch of them having a beer in Kenai River Brewing Company's tasting room. We'll be right back with an interview with the gents behind Girdwood Brewing Company. This is your host, Bill Howell, drinking on the last frontier, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna. Hello, and welcome back to Drinking on the Last Frontier. I'm your host, Bill Howell, here on KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna. And this month, we've got interviews with the boys from Girdwood Brewing Company. We've got Brett and Rory Marenko and Josh Hegna. Hey, guys, how you doing?
We're doing great.
Hey, appreciate you taking the time to talk with us. First up, before I forget, congratulations on being picked as one of the top 50 breweries in the country in Beer Advocate magazine, right?
Awesome.
Congratulations. Well done and well earned. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourselves? How did you guys end up in the commercial brewing game?
Well, kind of, you know, we've all lived in Girdwood for quite some time. And being like a small resort town, it was pretty apparent to all of us that Girdwood needed a brewery. So we actually happened to be drinking some beers around a buddy's keg one night. And the idea kind of came to fruition that we had all the resources available between us three and our two other owners, and that was about 3 years ago now.
That's pretty accurate.
So you guys homebrewers before this?
Yeah, Rory and I were homebrewers. We started sometime back in the early 2000s, back in college.
And I'm just a craft beer connoisseur since I was 21.
Well, you got to have somebody for QA, right?
Absolutely.
So why don't you describe a little bit about your brewing operation, your size and your capacities and things like that?
Okay. We're a 10-barrel premier stainless brew house. We have three 20-barrel fermenters and a 20-barrel bright tank. And in about 2 weeks' time here, we'll be getting three more 20-barrel fermenters. Hopefully that'll allow us to keep up with demand here in the summertime. We got our tap room. It's about 1,000 square feet, and then a nice south-facing beer garden that when the sun decides to poke out in Girdwood, it's the place to be.
You guys celebrated your first anniversary like in March, right?
Yeah, mid-March, right around St. Patty's Day.
I expect you did pretty good last year during the summer, then, particularly if you're looking to expand your production. So things are going well, huh?
Yeah, we're filling up the tap room on a regular basis. You know, it's shoulder season right now, so we have to try to be a little bit more creative, but it's definitely a local hopping spot, and we get a lot of the tourists coming through as well.
Speaking of the tap room, what do you guys think about SB 76?
Well, Rory, why don't you pop open? We've got a beer named BF 76 right now that we're drinking out of, and we're glad that, you know, some champions stepped up and helped us out on that one. It was pretty nerve-wracking there for a bit. You know, we founded our whole business idea on the community-minded tap room where we could serve 36 ounces of beer, and for, you know, special interest groups to come in at the last minute and try to throw that curveball at us, that was not very cool.
Yeah, I don't think very many people were enthusiastic about that. They had over 1,100 people send letters to the finance committee in about 4 days' time frame. So I don't think that move was really as very popular with anybody, except maybe the bar owners.
We had our local house representative, Jennifer Johnston, swing into the brewery the other day. She just wanted to echo her support and let us know that we overflowed her inbox. So I think the message was well received.
Well, that's good. Let's talk a little bit about what you guys have learned over the last year. What do you like most about being brewers, and what do you like the least?
It might be a little bit cliche, but the thing I like most is getting up every morning and being excited to go to work. I'm getting to do something I love, and the best part about it is you get to see the smiles and the appreciation on the community members that are supporting you and enjoying your product. Worst is probably at the same time, the same sentiment. It's a lot of work, you know, more work than any of us anticipated, I think, especially in year one, but that's just because we're exceeding our expectations and doing well probably too.
And I wouldn't say it's the worst, but maybe it's the most challenging. It's just how popular we've been, so trying to keep up with that beer, and or just none of us has really ever run a small business before, so that's created constant challenges.
Yeah, big demand is a good problem to have, but it's still a problem.
Exactly.
I think we all suffer from entrepreneur dreams where we wake up at 3 or 4 a.m. with a to-do list a mile long.
How do you guys come up with the names that you give your beers? I know you guys have had some pretty good ones, but do you have any kind of a process to pick your names?
Oh, it's quite the process. It's continuing. It's kind of that's a really good question. There's five of us owners, and you know, all of us are really passionate about what we do. So the naming process works like this. We try to get everybody to brainstorm names on their own. We let the taproom attendants brainstorm their names. And then we come together basically in short order and vote on them and, you know, have discussions, see if there's something that, you know, we like or wordsmith some of them. It's a collaborative effort. We have, you know, one of our partners, Amy Schimmick, and the other one, Carl McLaughlin. They're really good at coming up with some witty names and what have you. It's still being refined right now as we speak. I don't think we've totally got it worked out yet.
So have you guys got a favorite beer among your flagships, favorite of all the ones you brewed? I know that's kind of like asking which one of your children you love best, but we'll ask anyway.
It'd be hard to pass by No Woman, No Cryo. It's easily one of our best sellers, and it was one of the first beers that we brewed to receive public recognition at the Kenai Peninsula Beer Festival last year. It got People's Choice Best Award.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I thought I remembered that was the one that won the award last year.
And I would say mine is probably the Girdwood Reserve. That the twins did a really nice bourbon barrel-aged beer, and that one's fantastic. It's, you know, we have a pretty limited amount of it, so when it comes out, you got to come get it.
You got any other unique barrel-aged beers in the offing?
Not yet. After we'll probably use these barrels maybe two uses to get the spirit character out of them, and then we'll probably turn them into sour beer barrels. So then we'll probably start experimenting with, you know, some saisons and some different other barrel-aged variants.
So what beer festivals around the state do you guys usually hit?
The beer festivals?
Yeah.
So far we've done, let's see, we've got the Beer and Bacon one coming up. What was the one out in Mat-Su?
The Boo Fest.
The Boo Fest. Great Alaska Beer and Barley Wine Festival.
The Fur Rondi Beer Fest, the inaugural one this year. Yeah. And that was another one too. We took home People's Choice Best Brewery there, so that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was the one they scheduled the same day as our Frozen River Fest, wasn't it?
That's right.
Yeah, they got to not do that next year.
Yeah.
You guys going to make it back down here for the Soldotna Festival in August?
Oh, yeah. We got to defend our...
That's right. You got to defend your title.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then I think Bodega Fest is in the fall there as well. But we've been trying to branch out and do quite a few, especially if they're some of the ones that are a little farther out, just to get some better exposure. So.
Do you have any new beers you're going to be releasing in the next couple of months that you'd like to talk about?
Off the top of my head, I don't know any new ones, but we're going to be coming back with some crowd favorites that we had out there last summer, our Salmon Slayer Saison, and hopefully that will coincide with the first run of the Reds here. Probably our dysfunctional dry hop, double dry hop sour, that one too.
So. I've had that one. That's excellent.
Nice. And then... The Rue Hefner is another good one. We usually wait for some fresh rhubarb to come up here, but it's basically like a German hef that we infuse with a lot of rhubarb. So.
Sounds cool.
Other than that, just trying to keep up with the status quo. We're already feeling the effects of the tourists coming into town, so that's a good thing, starting to ramp up.
And we're hoping with our expansion and the new fermenters, we're able to do something with Eliesca and potentially, you know, create a branded beer for them. But that's still to be determined.
So put your crystal balls out, put your profit hats on. What do you guys see yourselves in 5 years and 10 years?
Well, so we're probably in about year three of our business plan, where we initially thought we'd be in, and that's, you know, not even 1.5 years in. So kind of throwing a dart against the wall, but hopefully by then we're kind of into the market more, potentially canning or packaging more for distribution, and definitely being able to, you know, supply to more local bars and restaurants, keeping stuff on tap there, you know, getting the spreading it out to Anchorage, down the peninsula, into the valley, Fairbanks, kind of those local markets.
We'd like to see, you know, beer or brewery laws in particular get modernized in the state, and hoping in the next 5 years, you know, we can really show people, you know, how we do have this public support, how this sandbox is big enough for all of us to play in and get some traction with that.
Yeah, we all live in hope of that one. So are you guys leaning towards bottles or cans when you actually start your packaging?
At this point, we're definitely leaning towards cans. It just seems to be, if not the wave of now, the wave of the future for sure. Especially being in Alaska, you know, you want to take your beer into the outdoors a lot. So cans are definitely the easiest way to do that, and or the safest if you're on a river or, you know, just light to pack wherever you're going. So I think we lean towards cans, but that's a ways down the road still, just from the dry storage standpoint that requires, and or the cold storage. So.
Yeah, no, it does seem to be the package of the future. More and more people seem to be moving in that direction. Here's another question I like to ask brewers. If you could say one thing to everyone who walks through your front door, what would that be?
I'm thinking on that one.
I would just say, you know, if you enjoy the product here, and we hope that you do, to, you know, search out your own local craft brewery if you're not familiar with that aspect of things, because there's more and more popping up in smaller neighborhoods all over the country now, and it's direct-to-consumer sales is the livelihood of a small craft brewery, so make sure and support your small local brands.
Cool. So what else? You guys got anything else you'd like to share with us?
I think we're just trying to right now, you know, improve everything that we've been doing. Been doing well, but we can continue to improve that, so we're trying to make the experience, you know, in the tap room better, doing just little things like we'll hopefully soon have a Wi-Fi for customers, improving the beer garden setting, just so we have a environment that fits with that Birdwood vibe, and continue to improve on it every day.
You guys pretty much have a food truck there every day now, right?
During the summer, yeah, we have pretty much every day of the week covered. During the winter, we had pretty consistent, like Friday through Sunday, so.
Why don't you tell everybody what your summer hours are so they can check you out?
We're open noon to 8. It's not just summer hours. We're open noon to 8 every day of the year, with the exception of Thanksgiving and Christmas right now, unless there's something, some kind of catastrophe. But yeah, noon to 8 every day of the week.
Well, that's pretty easy to remember.
Yep.
That was the goal, not trying to confuse the consumer and have them look at 7 different web pages to try to figure out our hours, so.
There's a lot of businesses in Girdwood that fluctuate their hours depending on the shoulder season, so we're trying to really bring in that local market too, and, you know, stay open and keep people employed, and so that's been a big goal of ours.
Excellent. Well, hey guys, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us. Really appreciate it. Look forward to drinking your beer here at the next beer festival, or next time I'm passing through Girdwood. I think I was in there a couple of months ago when we started talking about doing this interview, so I always try to stop by when I can.
Right on, Bill. We love listening to your show, and keep up the good work, man. Cheers.
All righty. Cheers to you guys. All right, this is Drinking on the Last Frontier. Your host, Bill Howell, on 91.9 FM Kenai Soldotna. We'll be right back with our next segment.
Join us for the Veritas Variety Review as we aim to entertain while seeking what is true. With a plethora of mixed media, music, meandering discourse, and maybe a little mayhem. Tune into KDLL 91.9 at 7 p.m. on Saturday evenings, featuring a new thematic perspective with auditory stimulus to augment your analysis of the universe.